Live, yeah. Episode one, preferred lines.
The problem is, though, that I just looked at my light, and now I can't see anything, because... But I am looking for this fucking huge wasp.
We've got wasps with spider webs hanging from them.
Keep an eye out for that thing.
Yeah, that's garage life, bro. We're both in
garage life. Garage life.
We got bugs. I got humidity, dude. Can you see my forehead? It's like 96 degrees in here right now.
Joe is in the garage. He's not used to this, like Eric and I. But hey, everybody, I'm Chad Eckert, and that's not the Fantasy Golf Pod. This is Preferred Lines Podcast, a new podcast. How about that, Joe? How are you, Joe? I Donate Tour Picks.
I'm doing good, brother. How about you, man? You ready to do this?
You're Joe I on Twitter.
Yeah, Joe I. That keeps it short and sweet since nobody knows how to say my last name right.
I Donnie. Yep.
Yep.
No, that's great. Okay, you're Joe I on Twitter, Tour Picks. You're a lunch drive long shot guy.
Yeah, something about that. Yeah, I like to, take my lunch breaks real seriously at work and cruise around and spill some beans on some long shots and lottery tickets on PGA Golf.
Nice. Hey, you know what, Joe? A new podcast. Why not? There's so many of these things. You can just decide to listen to this or decide not to. Our goal here, though, is to provide not expert analysis like we do at the Fantasy Golf Pod. We just banter. Regarding now this about the betting board and not the DK board for each PGA tournament, Joe and I are going to break it down. Similar to what Eric and I do, like I said, on Tuesdays, we're going to be here every Monday night. We're talking about 20 minutes or so, checking each other's temperature, the top of the board, the middle of the board, the bottom of the board. We're giving each other our preferred plays on this Preferred Lines podcast. Tell us about it. What is this, Joe? What are we doing here?
Well, Chad, that is a great question. The cheap answer is we'll see, right? I don't really know. It's going to take us a few weeks to kind of navigate this road and get our feet under ourselves and see where it takes us. But, you know, I think the goal here, and I think you're on board with it, is to, like you said, to just kind of have an open Discord and discussion about the odds board. Let these listeners kind of eavesdrop in on our talks and what we think is going on. Like you said, we are not pros, we are not touts, we are not experts. You know what we are? We're two dads that are struggling through this coronavirus pandemic with a toddler and a newborn, full-time jobs, and I like to say a full-time hobby in golf. So we're going to go run through the odds boards. We're going to talk about guys we like, guys we want to root for. We are amateur, low-stakes bettors, just like I think a lot of you guys are. And, you know, we're looking forward to bringing you along on this journey with us. Hope that you can join us every week as we talk about some guys we like, some guys we don't like. Will we have winners? Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you have bees flying around? Yes.
No.
Wasps.
Let's just be honest right now. I mean, yeah. I've barely bet on golf recently. I used to be really into betting. I used to go to Vegas all the time. My brother was a tout for a real website that sold picks. So, I mean, I've been around the betting world, and I've bet and I've lost a bunch of money betting. And I know it's risky, so I don't really do it as much. But I thought, well, with the emergence of golf betting coming onto the market, it's really hot. Everyone's loving this betting on golf stuff. Now I'm having FOMO, Joe. I need to get in on this stuff, so I'm coming back. I'm going to go on maybe one of these betting websites, deposit some money, and start losing it.
Yeah, get in on the action. We're all here to lose. we are here to throw some shekels on the most variable sport in the world, pro golf. Let's do it.
Now, there's no golf, Joe. So this is kind of different. I mean, we're doing a little bit of a practice pod here in a way, because we're going to get going when the season starts up here at the Colonial in a couple weeks. The problem with that is there's really not much to practice other than maybe future betting. We have odds for every major out currently. So Joe and I decided we're going to open up the Masters odds for November, and we're going to start looking at that and see if there's any exploitable spots.
Yeah,
baby. Futures
market. That's my wheelhouse. That's my favorite part of betting on golf, because You get to hold on to that ticket for a nice long time, and your money's not gone in a couple of days. So,
yeah, these people that are like, don't put your money in futures. You need that money now. It's like, no, I need to put that money in futures or else I'm going to lose it, and I won't even have any money to bet on the Masters once this comes around.
Listen, they're all wrong. Take a look at my pinned tweet, and look at those numbers that I got up there, and they are not currently available on this board that's in front of you. So the futures is where it's at. You know, you get in early, you catch a guy before he nabs a couple of top tens and a win, and you can get a good solid number, sometimes double the price that he enters in that tournament on Sunday. So I love futures. I'm here to talk about it. Masters, November, new circumstance, different weather. We all know the course, but I think it's going to play quite a bit different and give us some, you know, hopefully some opportunities here.
Definitely. Before we get into the board, though, Joe, we're not going to make you listen to this without rewarding you, are we?
Yeah, no. So we have a couple of cool ideas to kind of, you know, make this enjoyable for you guys in a giveaway. So one thing to touch base on real quick is our goal is to have a third person on this pod almost every week, someone that knows a lot more than us most of the time, who can inform us and keep us in line. But the goal is to have, you know, all three of us kind of go through. We want to get your guys' questions. We want to involve the community as much as possible and kind of make this an open discussion on the odds boards every week. So we're still kind of back and forth on ideas, whether we open up a Twitch stream or a Periscope or we just submit Twitter questions. But we're working on some really cool giveaways. If you submit a question to us every week, you know, I'm getting some sweet Preferred Lines golf towels made now that are going to be epic. We've got some other cool things lined up. So we are embracing your guys' questions, whether it be big or small or whatever it is. We're going to try to choose a winner every week and send them some cool swag. So we look forward to bringing you guys along.
Dude, I didn't even mention, we have a Twitter already. Set Preferred Lines.
Go so follow that.
Go follow that. Hey, if you want to be on this podcast as a expert, or you want to just maybe even ride the chair of the host, do it. Call us, DM us. Let's go. We'll bring you on. We're not high and mighty. You have a background. You have a resume. Let's go. We'll bring you in, right?
Exactly.
So hit us up. Preferred Lines. What a great name.
Great name, right? It's genius. I don't know who thought of that. But has so many great golf ties. You know, you got Preferred Lies. You know, we are fully on board with a consider us a Lift, Clean, and Place podcast. and we're gonna take the preferred lines that we want to bet, whether you like them or not. They're not gonna be right most of the time, but that's the fun in it.
All right, let's get to the board for this Masters coming up. We've been waiting. The rug was pulled out from under us. COVID ruined this major season. And now we're back to what is November Masters. This will be great.
I'm fired up for it. I think that we're going to get some serious quarter zips. We're going to maybe get some rain jackets out. We might get some wind. We might even get snow in Augusta this year. It is going to be so great. Very, very different. Look, we don't really know a lot about what these guys have been doing and not doing and how this is going to affect things. So, you know, we're kind of taking some stabs here way early on before golf is even resumed, but we're looking for an angle. I think it's going to be different. I'm excited for it. It's going to be an action-packed
ball. You might have to start targeting the Minnesotans that are in the field. Are there any Minnesotans? Because they are used to playing in the cold November rain.
You know, it makes sense. These Florida boys down here by me might be struggling this fall.
Are there any cold weather lovers at the top of the board here? You got Rory McIlroy, 6.5 to 1. I got it. This sports book. Again, we're going to use a generic sports book each week. The numbers are all kind of the same and relative to what they are. By the time you listen to this, they might have changed also, because that's just the way things go on a given week. For the futures, not so much, maybe. I don't know. Rory McIlroy, then you got Brooks right behind him with Tiger. You got John Rahm, JT. DJ 14 to 1, and then the 20 to 1 Xander. So at the top of the range there, are you interested in the top of the range ever?
Not really, especially not in the futures market, right? Because you're basically gonna, at this point, what you're really looking for in futures, if you're gonna hang your money up and tie for 5 months is you want to walk into that event with a better number than you're getting now. It's going to be tough to do with these guys. You know, even you take Justin Thomas, for instance, at 12-1, he could win the PGA championship and that number might not change. He could struggle and you may get an extra 1 or 2 points, but you know, he could be in great form coming in. You're not going to get much better than 12-1. I am going to completely pass over anyone under 20-1. And, you know, if I had to pick a guy up here, I'm looking at Patrick Cantlay. You know, stormed last year at the end, I think 64 and a 68 on the weekend, played really well. Look, he was, a lot of people don't remember, he was 2 over par after Friday of the Masters, ended up finishing in 9th place. I think he's a guy that is used to take periods of time off. I think he has the right mindset to compete in a major. He hasn't yet on a Sunday, but Memorial was a big win for him. I think that he can get it done. 25-1, I think, is a fair number and would be the only one up here that I can see really catching a number now that may be significantly worse come the late fall.
Yep, definitely. Now, we're going to basically skip over the top of the betting board each week because you know who you want up there anyway. We're not going to convince you one way or the other. We may give a lean or whatever, but that's not our focus. He's lunch drive long shots guy, and I'm fade the top price guy. So don't going to get a lot of top price names from us on the betting board. We are looking at the 25-1 range and further down that – what you could consider maybe the middle of the board. Jordan right. Spieth, that guy falls into this somehow at 25-1. Mr. Masters, Mr. Augusta. Do you think he gets a little bit of good showing here in this new season and decide, and then everyone jumps on that? Or do you think 25-1 is still a bad number for Jordan Spieth, who's kind of broken?
Possible. It's not for me. I think this layoff could have served him well, right? Because he was battling there week in and week out, and it's hard to make drastic improvements in the midst of a PGA Tour season, right? You finish on Sunday, you fly to the next place, you play a quick practice round, maybe a pro-am, and you're back off. How, like, when do you really have time to work on reinventing your swing and your game? For me, it's not there. I'll be interested to see if he shows up and plays well at Colonial. That's right in his backyard. It's a place where he has proven to have a lot of success in the past.
But Joe, if he does show up and does play well at Colonial, if he does well there, do you think the 25 number drops here and that makes you want to bet it now today?
Or do you not a Colonial? No, not a Colonial. He would have to have a consistent run leading up of some top tens and a big win to creep that inside of 20-1, I think.
Okay, now we've got some names here at the upper 20 range. Bryson, 28-1. He's had a very eventful and noticeable off season here.
Yeah.
Is that okay to do a 28-1 on Bryson today? I think that'll drop, especially if he does well. People are going to be on it. Bomber at Augusta. Let's go.
And he's been very forthright, and that's his like favorite course. And that's always – I can remember him playing as an amateur and just coming out and being so laser-focused on playing well at Augusta, and he did. It's not – I'm not going down that road. I'm looking in that same sort of range at 28-1 at another guy who I think that this layoff suited really well, Ricky Utaka Fowler. Mm-hmm. That's my guy, man. And okay. I feel like this served him so well. He, you know, was going through a swing change himself. So I think this layover, while everyone had to hit the reset button, helped him. The other thing, you know, and I don't really have any stats to back this up, but I feel like when it gets nasty out and the weather gets a little bit bad and the rain jackets come on or the quarter zips go up, I feel like Ricky plays pretty well in that scenario. I know he won the Scottish in terrible conditions. I remember the waste that he won. You know, he was wearing the jacket and it was a nasty rainy day that he won that. I feel like he's trending in the right direction, and I feel like you could be getting a good number. I actually snagged a 32 on another one of my books recently. I know we got him at a 28 here, but I feel like if he comes out and plays well, that he could drop down. In the previous years, he's been in like the 16-20-1 range. So I feel like that could be an avenue to add a little bit of value there within this range.
Oh yeah. He's got the focus of getting his first major. He's never going to show up to the Masters and just mail it in.
Right. Look, I think that he's close. You know, he's got 4 top 12s at Augusta in the last 5 years. He loves the course. He's got incredible touch around the greens. He may be the best putter on tour, and that's what it takes to win here. Does he have the killer instinct? That's the question mark, right? But I think that's also built into why you may be getting a little bit of an inflated number here, because if he comes out and shows that he can put together a win or a couple of top fives leading in, I think that that drops.
Dude, this 25 to 1 to 50 to 1 range, that is serious right here. You have a lot of juicy names. Adam Scott playing the best he's ever played pretty much recently. Same with Patrick Reed. Bubba Watson, winner here before, twice. Paul Casey always plays well here. Like another guy that plays well in the shitty conditions sometimes. Kuchar needs a major. Well here. Yep, and then you got Sergio there too. And then my boy Sung Jae-im is in this range, 50 to 1. That's incredible.
No, I haven't done that, but it just depends, right? Like Sungjae is one of those guys who are just on a freaking roll. And then this coronavirus hit and it stalled him. We know he's been grinding and playing, but golf is a funny thing. Like it kind of comes and goes in waves. We see it with every player, right? We're seeing it now kind of with Brooks on a downward slide. We've seen it with Rory, seen it with all the top players. So I'm just curious if he can maintain that peak level of performance from February at the Honda, you know, and then restarting up in June and July, and then keep that rolling all the way through November. But if he does, you're not going to see 50 to 1 come opening day. That's for sure.
I feel like Masters is always one of those places that you have to play a few times to get the hang of it. And then the rookies never do all that well. Although there's the best of the best. They ignore those things and they're just as fine. So if he's one of those ones, then sure, I'll go for maybe I'll do that 50 to 1. I also think the Webb Simpson 33 to 1 feels off to me for the names that are around him and how well he played.
Right. I love Webb. Like I said earlier on my pinned tweet with odds that I posted from like back in December, I have a 66 on Webb to win the Masters, which is double what it is now. He's got a strong caddy. I think that he plays well in bad weather. His approach numbers over the last year are off the freaking charts. It's just a matter of can he putt well, right? And he's shown definite improvement in that area. So we'll see. I think that the move to November could suit him well, and I think he sets up well. And I even think, like you said, if he comes out hot, that 33 number still poses some value there.
Okay, 66. Let's sell me half of that, will you?
I'll consider it. We'll see how this goes.
Anyway, well, you're the lunch drive long shot guy. What do you consider long shots? Are we talking 66 to 1 and above that?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the event. Majors are tough because you generally don't see a huge number of guys pull through. Now, the Masters, we've seen that. I mean, I had the Willett ticket. A bunch of us did. We all know that he hit from there at 100, 125 to 1, 80 to 1, some people had. But it kind of depends, like I said, on the event. It really just kind of is on a case-by-case basis. I do feel like there's a couple of guys here in this range who, you know, you're looking for that Willett, right? You're looking for a guy that has things play out perfectly for them that week. And they play their best 4 days of golf. And then even if they do that, you've got to hope these top guys melt down. You know what I mean? So something's got to happen at the top of the board with these big names. But there's a couple guys here I got circled.
All right. Give us the names. Let's hear them.
All right. I like Kevin Kisner at 80 to 1. Aiken, Georgia guy. I think he's 20 miles down the road from Augusta. I think that that's going to suit him well given the move back into November here. Normally, Kiz is very open and honest when it comes to these long courses and will kind of write himself off. And he's been very open about that. He said it at Bethpage. He said it at a couple other places, like, it's too long for me. I've got no shot. I think this is a little bit different for him. He's had four straight cuts made. You know, he plays that little draw off the tee, which suits him well here. He's a good long iron player into these par fours. The big thing that I think some of these other, you know, Aaron Hills and these monstrosity of courses, he couldn't get there on a lot of the par fives. So it gives these guys who can, Brooks and DJ and Rory, a huge advantage when they're hitting hybrid or three iron in, and Kiz is a three shot hole for him. At Augusta, You look at number two, you look at number 13 and 15, he can reach on all of those. Number eight's probably going to be tough because it plays so uphill, but he can get there on a lot of these par fives if he hits a good drive, just like most of the field can. You know, he's a great putter as well. You have to be a good putter to play well at Augusta. He's got that sort of moxie that I'm looking for. I think 81.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, he'll be in contention on Sunday, have a fat dip in, and won't give a shit. And the other people will melt around him.
Yeah. He doesn't give a fuck.
The greatest. Okay, who else? What's the other name?
I got another guy at the same number. Okay. I'm going to make my guy Ryan Baroff really happy here. But I love Matthew Fitzpatrick. I have the 100. He's an 80 now. I still like it. I don't really know why he plays well here. I can't put my finger on it. You look at some of the statistical numbers, and they don't really make sense how he finishes so well. I think he finished seventh in his first year here as an amateur. Here's the thing with a lot of these Euro guys that you're going to see on the board. I don't know. I'm reluctant to play any of the – like, we've heard Tommy Fleetwood come out. We've heard Lee Westwood come out. A lot of these guys on the European Tour are not going to play PGA Tour events. Coming up because of this whole, it's difficult to get into the country. They've got to be quarantined for 2 weeks when they get in before they can play golf. They've got to abandon their families. They're going to be like essentially sequestered on the PGA Tour away from their family and friends. A lot of these guys are just going to choose not to come over. Matt Fitzpatrick is living here. You know, he's a big European Tour guy, but he's already in the field at Colonial on the first week back. I think that he's going to stay here. I think that he's going to play all through the late summer and the fall. And he's a hell of a player, man. I think that he sets up for a good number here if you can get him in that 80 to 100 range.
All right. I'm in for that. I like Matty Fitz. I've always liked him. He's not even young anymore. He just looks young. Like he's like 28.
Yeah, he's definitely not like – you would definitely not consider him like a rookie or a newcomer anymore. He's kind of a little bit more established. Understands what it takes to compete on the PGA and European tours. So like you said, he's kind of in that veteran status now. It's time for him to win, though. He's been there close on some Euro Tour events, on PGA Tour events. He can't break through. Is the Masters the spot that he's going to do that?
No, what is the truth is he's going to win like the 3M Open, and then his master number is going to split in half and go to 40. So he's
going to crash. Exactly.
If that happens now. All right, I got a couple names, and they're the names that I always say. I like CH3 Charles Howell III. He's born in Augusta. Born in Nisco. I mean, dude's not a short hitter by any means, and he's on the rise. At the moment, he's been playing better, and he's got his, like, 13-year-old kid motivating him. He wants to prove. It's like the Tiger thing where you got your kid that's, like, now following you along, and you want to press your kid. 125-1 for someone who putts decently, and he, like, was born in this freaking state.
Yeah, it's a huge number. I love it too. 125-1. I like that number a lot.
My other guy is Billy Horschel, a Florida guy, a Gator guy. The dude is 150-1, and he loves the big stage. So I'm not afraid of 150-1 guy who's won the FedEx Cup. I'm like, he's not going to get rattled. That could be a decent number. If he could win leading up to this and split his number in half. So I'm down with the Billy Ho at 150-1. I also like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but 200-1, Kiradek Gaffey Barnrat. I've said this before.
Oh,
he loves money and he loves himself and he loves those chalices that they give out and they love those little plates and silver cups that the Masters doles out to people. He's all about that. He's got the dude once rented a room in an apartment that stored in boxes of shoes he hadn't opened yet. I mean, he's a materialistic guy. Living in a material world. So I got Barnrat 200-1. Let's do this. Barnrat Masters champion? And you have the ticket?
It'd be sweet. You can't say anything bad about Barnrat, right?
Barnrat's back.
Oh, no.
Seriously, like. Woo! Oh, it's on the ground. I can feel it. Okay, I got the broom on it. Okay, I'm stepping on it.
Podcast in your garage.
All right, I stepped on it. It's a giant hornet.
He's dead? Murder hornet?
It's just over here. Can you see that?
It's just a bee. Not a murder hornet. Scary.
It had a dust trail. I don't know what the dust trail's from.
All right, listen. Right.
So Barnrat, go with it.
Right. Yeah, go with it. I don't see it. Billy Horschel, though. I like Billy Horschel. Okay. Look, I've been doing these. Here's something for you. I've been doing these Peloton rides with the PGA Tour guy.
Billy, is he a robot?
He's a freaking monster.
How?
I don't understand, but he crushes it. He's right. Like, Rory is like nationally known as like the figure on a Peloton. Like, he posts some numbers that are epic. There's been articles about him. Billy Horschel's right there. He beats him sometimes. He's in incredible shape. You know, he played at this event, I think it's Sawgrass, over the weekend. It didn't play well, but I know that he's golfing. He can get a hot putter. You got to love his attitude. And like, I don't know if you touched on it, but one of the things you look at with these numbers is the player well-liked by the average?
It's known that no one likes him.
Like Billy Horschel for some reason. He's had a couple of moments, but I kind of like that he's got that little bit of moxie. And why not? 150-1.
All right. So at the end of each podcast, we're gonna review our preferred plays. For this one, it's a little different because it doesn't really matter. These are futures and these are bets. And then at the same time, we may end up coming up with topics that pertain to our lives and our children and our craziness that we're dealing with. So if those topics end up coming up, they're going to come up at the end of the pod and you don't even have to listen to those. We're just trying to make things up as we go along. We may not actually do that though. So we'll see.
We'll see.
But that's it. That's the Preferred Lines podcast. We're new, so please be nice to us. And understand that we're just trying our best. And we're doing this for free, for fun. Just like we do at the Fantasy Golf Pod on Tuesdays. We're doing this on Mondays and we're talking to the betting board. Joe, I, and I. Follow us. Preferred Lines.
Peace, guys. We'll talk soon. Later.
Thanks for watching.